Want to gain an edge in international markets with foreign currency exchange? At Associated Bank, we've got you. We can assist you in obtaining or converting foreign currency and managing the exchange risk to your advantage. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Diamond Young, Assistant Vice President of the Foreign Exchange and Capital Markets at Associated Bank. Diamond, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me. Always excited to be here.
I want to focus in on some of the recent news affecting the dollar. One of them is the Federal Reserve to stand pat on interest rates, at least for now. There have been a couple of Fed speakers who've said, and even the Federal Reserve chairman in testimony to Congress said that the Fed is on sort of a wait-and-see attitude to see how the tariffs might impact things, how the economy might deal with inflation moving forward. And a couple of the Fed presidents have said that they were surprised that the tariffs hadn't caused more problems. Talk to us a little bit about how the dollar is reacting to all of this.
Yes, as you mentioned, the Fed has held rates steady for the entire year. And before this year, we were expecting more cuts. And now those predictions are down to about 1 to 2 cuts before the end of the year. And as you said, they're on that wait and see approach. The tariff-related inflation, you know, that was the whole, that's something that would, you know, delay cuts. But if we were to see something like a labor slowdown, that's something that could accelerate those cuts that we've been waiting to see. But as far as the strength of the U.S. dollar, as it relates to the Federal Reserve and everything that's been happening with tariffs, we definitely expected to see the dollar strengthen more, you know, just due to the uncertainty. But I think a lot of the reason why we're not seeing that is because of the loss of trust. You know, it's hard to trust. We don't know really. When the U.S. is involved in that mistrust, that's what makes it harder for the U.S. to be, or should I say the U.S. dollar, sort of see some of the benefits from being a safe haven currency.
Mm-hmm. The Chicago Fed president said this week that he so far doesn't think tariffs have had a bigger impact than was expected. So he thinks it's more modest impact on the economy. One of the Fed governors said that the time may be coming to lower interest rates. You mentioned the job market. She also said that she's worried about some of the weakening of the job market. Talk to us a little bit about the decision making here and how this might move forward.
Well, I think it's just, again, that wait and see approach. We haven't seen any hard data that suggests that inflation is having a huge impact. We haven't seen any hard data of, you know, the labor market slowing down. So it's really just, I would call it a statistical game or a numbers game, where we're just waiting for these reports to see when it's actually going to impact the economy versus, because at this point, everyone is just making estimates based on, okay, we see that this is happening. But a lot of times with data, you just have to wait. You really just have to wait and see. I mean, there's a reason why the Fed is taking the approach that they're taking.
And part of that has to do with the data on inflation, right? The inflation numbers are still stubbornly above where the Fed wants to see it, at about 2%.
Exactly.
The Fed governor, Christopher Waller, just one other note on rates, said that he thinks that the Fed's going to cut rates at its next meeting in July. You think we're going to have 1 or 2 more cuts this year?
I'd say 1 cut. You know, it varies. Opinions change. My opinions change. I definitely thought we were going to see more cuts this year. But, you know, we're 6 months in and we haven't seen any just yet. So it's really just going to depend on, I'm looking at the numbers for labor, just basically how the economy is doing.
Talk to us about how the dollar has reacted after all of the problems with Iran and Israel, the U.S. attacking Iran. Where's the dollar been going? Has it been going up and down, or is it holding steady?
I'd say right now in the month of June, the dollar is holding steady. We did see a brief spike on the news of what was happening in Iran, but, you know, since Trump called for that ceasefire between Iran and Israel, since then, it was very brief. Even with oil, we saw oil surge 7% and then it dropped 6%. So, you know, as far as this month, the dollar has been steady. But if we're looking at year to date, I always like to look at year to date, especially in June, because we're halfway through the year, and the dollar is still down over 10% since the start of the year.
10%. That seems like a lot.
Yes. it's definitely a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, the reason behind that is, again, you know, the uncertainty with tariffs, and then you have the uncertainty with tariffs, you have the Federal Reserve holding rates this year. So a lot of times when I come and talk to you, Steve, many times I mention the interest rate differentials. So when you're, you know, when you're holding rates steady and, you know, you're in a dovish mode and we're expecting rate cuts at some point in this year, you know, the question isn't if they're going to cut rates, and it's more so of when they're going to cut rates. And that's always something that is going to that's going to weigh down on the dollar strength.
What is the strategy when you see the dollar down that much year to date? What's the strategy for investors at that point?
When the dollar's down, it depends on what side of the dollar you're on. So in my role, I'm working with businesses that are either buying or selling U.S. dollars. So it really just depends on what side of the market that you're on. But, you know, even though in the month of June, it hasn't been extremely volatile, we did, again, we saw the U.S. dollar spike briefly, but, you know, it simmered back down. It's only down like maybe a little over 0.5% since the top of the month. But in my profession, I'm always pushing for my clients to hedge, you know, locking in those rates today for future use. That way you don't have to play that guessing game and say, well, you know, maybe next month the dollar will be steady again, or maybe next month the dollar is going to spike and that spike is going to last a little longer.
Yeah. You mentioned oil prices after the Iran situation. I know this is one of the big things you deal with as well. Is there any way to predict where those oil prices are going to be going?
Oil prices is going to be heavily tied to inflation concerns. So the reason why we saw oil prices surge in the way that they did is because, you know, there was inflation concerns. So it's one of those things where we're going to have to, again, wait and see where inflation is going to go. And that's certainly going to impact oil as well as where the Fed is looking to go.
Because if folks have to pay more for oil and eventually gas, that's going to drive up inflation. That's going to impact the Fed's decision making.
Exactly. It all ties together.
It all ties together. I don't know how you keep it all straight. And I know there's probably lots of hair pulling and head scratching from investors with all of this, right? And then you hedge where or how?
Well, again, for my clients, when I'm talking about hedging, I'm talking about hedging, you know, the U.S. dollar versus other currencies. Mm. So, for instance, let's say you were an importer and you imported wine from Europe. You don't know how much, you know, if you're importing your wine from Europe and you're purchasing your products in euros, and you don't know if the euro is going to strengthen more. We don't know if the euro is going to start to weaken. That's when you do what we call hedge. So you lock in that exchange rate today for future use. So if you have a payment that's due in 3 months, you'll say, I want to lock in the euros today, and then I'm going to send those euros in 3 months, and we're going to honor that rate that we give them today. So it's just a great, hedging is a great budgeting tool.
Back to the dollar just a little bit. I want to ask you about something called de-dollarization. This is a movement that's been gaining some popularity. Talk to us a little about what it is and why is it gaining such popularity?
Yes. Yeah, so de-dollarization, it's actually a topic that I usually run away from. When I tell people what it is that I do, they always want to bring up, well, have you heard about BRICS nations? Do you know what's going on with that? And I usually run away from it. For anyone that doesn't know what de-dollarization is, it's basically the trend of reducing U.S. dollar usage in global trade and reserves. So, you know, the reason why I've sort of ran away from that conversation is because sometimes it just doesn't get productive as far as what it is that I do. But I have to take a step back. I always use the analogy of Blockbuster. You know, I always, you know, everyone used to love Blockbuster, right? But Blockbuster didn't fail because people stopped watching movies. It failed because it didn't evolve with the times. So when we're talking about, you know, the U.S. dollar, and we're talking about the dominance of the U.S. dollar, is that guaranteed by default? Or is that something that where we will eventually, you know, watch that shift?
Is there anything that could have saved Blockbuster, staying with that analogy for a moment? And then what is it that needs to be done to save the dollar?
So with Blockbuster, sticking with that analogy, if I'm not mistaken, I remember when I was in high school, I took like a macroeconomics class, and I'm almost certain, but don't quote me on this, I'm almost certain that Netflix went to Blockbuster and was trying to sort of develop a partnership, and Blockbuster was just like, no, we're basically the monopoly
king.
Of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they thought that, you know, this is valuable. People still want to walk in and, you know, purchase movies and spend that quality time with their family and overpay for snacks and bring them back home. Yeah. They didn't realize people, you know, just the way of the world would be changing. So if I can relate that to the U.S. dollar, you could even think about the growth in cryptocurrency and the growth in, you know, assets like gold. There's many different ways to invest your money outside of the U.S. dollar. So it's really just one of those things where you want to stay with the times and you know, just don't get left behind. But when you're looking at something like the U.S. dollar and we're talking about de-dollarization, I do like to look at the history. You know, the dollar has been the reserve currency since 1944. That's over 81 years of being the global reserve currency. So this isn't something that's just going to change overnight. You're not going to wake up one day and say, hey, I went to Mexico for a trip and they didn't want to accept my U.S. dollars. You know, that's not something that's going to happen. But it's certainly not something we want to fall asleep on. And in short, we want to make sure that we're staying up to date just to know exactly what's going on.
Well, Diamond, I'm sure you've thought about this, but who or what would be a good partner to the U.S. dollar?
Who or what? That's a great question. I honestly don't know if I have the politically correct response that I would need to answer on WGN.
Okay. Well, I know that there are countries leading the opposite side of this, like Russia,
yes,
India, China, Brazil, Malaysia. They're all trying to come up with their own system that would maybe become the world system, right?
Yes. Yeah, so China specifically, they have what's called CIPS. That stands for Cross-Border Interbank Payment System. And China launched that in 2015 to settle yuan-based international payments. And that's basically designed as an alternative to SWIFT. You know, SWIFT is what handles most global payments, and that's mostly in U.S. dollars. So while SWIFT is neutral on paper, you know, other countries feel like the U.S. has what I would say indirect influence, especially when you're talking about sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
So
what about the euro? Is there a chance that the euro will become the reserve currency?
I would say that I don't have enough information to confidently say, you know, the euro is the next payment. But I will say China has been on my radar because they've been the ones that have been most vocal. And then you have the BRICS nation that I always get asked about, and that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and that's even expanding to include Iran, Egypt, and others.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, very interesting going forward. Diamond, thank you. Great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
They can get a hold of me by calling 866-524-8836. That is our trade desk. You could always just ask for me.
All right, Diamond, thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, thanks, Steve.